Okay, today is Sunday, May 15th, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, where it says a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. And when he says the word revelation, he's talking about is concerning the very essence, the very treasures of grace, the very treasures of grace which are given to Jesus Christ, because Jesus is a captain of our salvation. Okay, we follow his leadership. We also walk in the same prophetic path. By walking in the same prophetic path, we are confirming him. So it says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, yea, the revelation of this knowledge. The time is at hand. When he says the time is at hand, it says this is to share this knowledge now with Peter and James for the church. This is a time of your stewardship. Now we're going to see what's interesting and what follows this revelation. Look what the Spirit is saying. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. That's kind of strange. Why would he say that? Because those that hear these tidings will make these particular choices. Okay, either to join and build or to deny and die. Okay, that's to shrivel on the vine, to be cut off. So he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Okay, because this holy knowledge will manifest many hearts. The knowledge, the holy knowledge of God will manifest many hearts. Okay, that was the revelation that was spoken of in regarding Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah, and regarding that particular revelation, and the hearts of many should be manifested. Well, how should they be manifested? Would they be manifested by the Torah? No. The Torah itself did not manifest the hearts, because each group of people were intellectually capable of splitting up that knowledge, setting order to their own aspiration. And when they split up the knowledge to set order to their own aspiration, it looks righteous in the eyes of the undiscerning. Okay, and a false religious system is doing the same thing today. They're not rightly dividing the Word of God. Not rightly dividing the Word of God, which has to do with the distinguishing of covenants. Now, the Bible is full of different covenants. Even though the Lord is the same, as he testified himself, I am the Lord and I change not. The character of God has not changed, but the covenants have changed. Now, each change of the covenant also God gave a different title of himself to identify that covenant, as we're in a covenant right now of Jesus Christ. Not understanding the separation of these covenants, the unlearned and the unstable will interpret the scriptures in mixing of these covenants, just like they did in ancient Israel. In ancient Israel, they mixed the covenant of Moses with that of Abraham. Now, when he mixed the covenant of Moses with Abraham, they began to construct altars on every high hill and under every green tree or in the grove. They had the type of the grove relationship with God instead of the altar relationship with God. And I say the altar relationship, which has to do with the specified place which God sanctified for faith to be expressed. God was not sanctifying any longer the individual altars on every high hill. And this is why every mountain should be brought low and every valley should be filled. Okay, every ideology, every philosophy, every religious philosophy has to bow the knee. And those that bow the knee will be filled and every valley should be filled. The way of the Lord should be made straight, which has to do with the knowledge of put people, those of faith, on a prophetic path. But every mountain must be brought down. And there are as many mountains today as we see even a book of Revelation, how the mother of harlots constructed her kingdom on seven mountains. Hey, these are particular philosophical places, whereas she dominates the minds of her slaves. She dominates the minds of her slaves. Now, let's go on here. He that is unjust, let me unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him filthy still. He that is righteous, let me righteous still. And he is holy, let him be holy still. So we see the negative and positive here, don't we? We see the negative and the positive. He that is unjust. Because this holy knowledge will manifest many hearts and bring separation accordingly. Okay, as a protester. Okay, he that is unjust, let me just still. Which is a protester being defiled. He be defiled in his conscience will hide many false justifications. Okay, if he refuses grace. So the unjust has to do with the righteous, the religious righteous. Who are the independent ministries who refuse to build one house. The body of Christ is one, not many. The body of Christ is one, but the body of Christ is made up of many members. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He that is unjust, let me unjust still, and he is holy, let him be holy still. Okay, or so he goes holy there in the confirmation of those which are embracing this. So he talks about the unjust, the filthy, and the also the righteous and the holy. Okay, so the filthy again has to do with those which are defiled in our conscience. Okay, and as the concentra now, those which are righteous. Okay, let the righteous, the concentra of faith, let the concentra continue to build by the Spirit. Let him be righteous still. Let him continue to build on. That's what we're doing. See, we're continually building. Let him be righteous still. So he talks about the unjust, which are walking with their own justification, okay, and defiled in their conscience. They will continue to add on to their own derision. So that's why he says, unjust, let me just still. He does filthy, let me be filthy still. They will continue to add on to their own derision, confounding the knowledge of God. So he that is righteous, which is continues to build, and righteous still, and he that is holy, okay, which functions with Christ's priesthood, let him be holy still. That is upon receiving these tidings. Okay, those that hear these tidings. Now, I'm going to purge my people of the unclean. Okay, God has always made distinction between the holy and profane, between the unclean and the clean. He made those distinctions even among the beasts of the earth, between the clean animals and the unclean animals. That which chews the cud and devise the hoof is considered to be clean. Okay, but that which might chew the cud but devise not the hoof is considered unclean. So there's similarities in chewing the cud, and there's similarities in dividing of the hoof. Okay, but those which are unclean have somewhat in part of that which is holy. Okay, that's the hypocrite. Okay, the hypocrite, they might chew the cud, but they don't divide the hoof, or they might divide the hoof, but don't chew the cud as a sow. Okay, as the pig. Okay, there's animals like the hare. Okay, they chew the cud, but they don't divide the hoof. Okay, there's similarities, but there's differences. The similarities like the Midianites. Okay, the Midianites were the children of Abraham, okay, which were born through Keturah. Okay, and they held on to their historical perspective, but not that which is of covenant faith. Okay, they despised circumcision. So they held on to their historical perspective. We be of Abraham. We are of your brethren. But at the same time, they deny circumcision, which means we will not speak in tongues. Okay, we're Christians. We won't speak in tongues. So what they're doing is that they're making distinctions, but they don't chew the cud. Again, we see the same thing today of the many diversities of the false religious system. Okay, the many philosophical mountains will be brought down. Now, John the Baptist, being the true prophet of the Lord, spoke of this transition. He spoke of the transition and brought to the attention of the people Jeremiah's wave, or Jeremiah's curve, which we call it also, the wave or the curve. Okay, every mountain should be brought low, which means that which is the philosophical high places of error. Okay, it must be brought down and brought low, and that's what Jesus did. Okay, Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisee, hypocrites. Okay, even as the Lord spoke to Zechariah and said, speak to this mountain, grace, grace. Grace, grace. Because only if they hear will they humble and bow the knee. But as long as they resist grace, okay, they're going to try to stand strong in their false justification or being unjust. So we see that division is taking place, as Jesus said, about the last days. My Father would send forth his angels. Okay, and then by sending forth the angels, they divide the sheep from the goats, as well as also will divide the wheat from the tares. Okay, a division is being made. Now the wheat and the tares are very close in their form of identification. They're very close. They look very, very much alike. Okay, but the end results are very different. Okay, and the same thing with the false knowledge. False knowledge is very close to that which is truth. Okay, but the anointing doesn't work with that false knowledge, so therefore it is not fruitful. There's no nutriments in the bread of the tare. There's no nutriments in that. But the nutriments are in the manna which we eat. The manna which we eat has been provided for us from above. Okay, manna did not spring from the soil. Manna came from above. Okay, and that which came from above, okay, is that which is holy, and that's what we're eating. That which is holy. So he that is holy, then be holy still. He is righteous, then be righteous still. He is holy, then be holy still. That is to continue on in your consistency. Continue on in the consistency of your faith. Why? Why continue on in consistency? Because your consistency will pay off. just as much as a farmer. A farmer has to be consistent in identifying or observing the changing of seasons. Okay, from sowing time to reaping time, he has to observe the seasons and the proper seasons, the weather changes. Okay, we also observe the spiritual seasons and weather changes as concerning sowing and reaping. Now, as we continually sow righteousness and expressing our charity, we wait with great expectation upon the promise of the Lord, then when he will visit us. Look what he says in verse 12 here. Now, we're in Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 right now for those just joining us. Behold, I come quickly. Now, when he says, behold, I come quickly, he's not talking about the rapture. Okay, even though that's applicable, yes, the Lord will come quickly. He will come unnoticed to the world. Okay, but when his coming is made known, it was because we are sitting in great expectation of that. We will know the times and the seasons. Behold, I come quickly. So here the Lord is saying, watch in prayer and be diligent. Watch in prayer and be diligent. Develop good prayer habits. Develop good study habits. Okay, the habit you develop will save your soul. Okay, because by continually reading of these things, you will spare your soul many troubles as you continue to study these things. Yes, it's like watering a house plant. You water the house plant in order to keep it, you see, living. You need to keep it nurtured and living there. You're nurturing it. But if it's neglected, the plant, of course, will reflect that neglection. Okay, and also, many believers' neglect of spiritual things is reflected in their behavior, see, in their perspectives, in their challenges, in their doubt, double-mindedness, and finally sedition. Behold, I come quickly, he says here in verse 12. Okay, my visitations come really without notice to offer gifts to all. Okay, by my propitiation. Jesus gives us gifts for the purpose of this propitiation, which means he gives us something only to be returned or to redound to the glory of God, to return to him again. We'll be talking about that when we get to Colossians. How the Apostle Paul, okay, pinning these epistles reflected upon the revelation of John here. Okay, we do the same thing. Okay, the knowledge which we have received is our continual reflection, okay, to redounding to the glory of God. Okay, the seed that was sown, okay, now increases, okay, with your patience and with your long-suffering to the time of the reaping where the fruit now takes form within you. Okay, these are the powers of God which will save you. Behold, I come quickly, he says here, because my visitations will come without notice, to offer gifts to all my saints, to all my people. This is my propitiation. Then through this propitiation or atonement, you'll be joined to me. Atonement, to be made one with me. Okay, my gifts are given to you to make you one with myself. Okay, now, your faith identifies my likeness. And when I see my image in your faith, then we have a bonding fellowship. Okay, a bonding fellowship, because we're laboring together. We're fellow laborers with God and joint laborers with Christ. We are laboring with him. We're laboring with this grace. Okay, that which is beyond the understanding of the world is what we continually sow daily. It's commonplace to us. The world is not commonplace. To the uncircumcised ears, okay, the knowledge of God puts them asleep. But to those ears who are circumcised, the knowledge of God continually awakens, okay, like the sun springing up the new day. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. So I like the word reward there because we're talking about gifts. Okay, whether it be in dreams or in visions, visitations, okay, or other forms or manifestations of the Spirit. We know there's many different ways, diverse manners. Of course, the Apostle Paul reflects upon that in Hebrews 1:1. Okay, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners, in times past spoken to our fathers by the prophets, says these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So we talk about Jesus again as continually issuing forth these diversities. Okay, these diversities, whether it be a word of wisdom, knowledge, or faith. Okay, gifts of healings, working of miracles, okay, or prophecy, discerning of spirits, or diverse kinds of tongues, or interpretation of tongues. There's a diversification for the purpose of uniqueness. But all comes to the same conclusion of Christ. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Okay, to give every man, whether grace or derision, to give every man grace or derision. Because the gift is going to be according to what? Your work, your choices. The gift is according to your choices. According as his work shall be, to believe your testimony or not. To believe your testimony or not. So the Apostle John here is receiving this revelation as a forewarning regarding his gifts. Behold, the Master comes. Now, when he says, behold, the Master comes, okay, are you going to put oil in your lamp, or are you going to go on the oil that you think you have in your lamp? Okay, if your lamp goes out, you can't expect someone else at that point to offer their oil to you. Of course, we see that in that parable. The Master comes. So we keep our vessels full. Keep your vessel full of faith. So we keep our vessels full in order that upon his arrival, his expectation will be met with joy and not with disappointment. If he sees that your consistency is unabated, which means you're continually building and bonding and building and bonding and building and bonding. Okay, and of course, we all have a different pace. Okay, it's like running a race. When you run a race, okay, everyone runs at their own particular pace. Okay, but the end result is still the same, the goal. We're all running towards that same goal. We're all running at a different pace. Okay, whether it be little children, young men, or fathers, they were running at a different pace. So we're running not as one that's running in a physical race, but as one that's also, we're running the race of life. Behold, I come quickly, and reward is with me to give every man according to his work should be, wherever your choices are, to believe this testimony or not. And then he identifies himself, I am the origin and the destiny of your faith. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the word and the oath of all creation. I'm Alpha and Omega. Okay, as the seed and the fruit. I'm Alpha as the seed, and I'm Omega as your fruit. Okay, I'm Alpha as your seed, Omega as your fruit. I'm the beginning and the ending, your origin and your destiny. Okay, we take on that lightness. Okay, as he plants that seed within us, we continue to nurture it with faith. Okay, we nurture it with faith. That means we watch our diet. We watch our diet. Okay, just like those which are bearing children. Okay, those who are bearing children have to watch their diet. Okay, and even physicians can warn about certain indulgences. Okay, you got to be careful. Okay, and what your diet would be, because you're not just feeding yourself, you're feeding another life within you. And we're feeding another life within us. Okay, that which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're watching our diet. We're feeding the Spirit with grace and truth. Okay, and this is what we're building God's kingdom with, grace and truth. Okay, the revelation of his kingdom. Okay, the grace of God, the revelation of kingdom and truth, which is that framework which we're building in. Building within a certain framework. Just like a chicken develops within the egg. The chicken develops within the egg until the time when the egg is broken. You kind of wonder, how does that chicken know when he's really done? Okay, how does that little chicken in that egg there know when he's completed? It's a spirit. It's a power that does that. And they all come out at the same time. Isn't it interesting? It's a phenomena. Okay, but that phenomena speaks to us in another parable. We will know the time. The power will make known that time. Okay, so I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the seed and the fruit. At the beginning and the end, I open this plan, I'll close this plan. Yeah, I'm going to open this plan, I'm going to close this plan. And the time frame is 7,000 years. Okay, within that 7,000 years, he also marked off days and weeks and hours. Days and weeks and hours. As we see in the Abrahamic calendar. The Abrahamic calendar, okay, brings to our attention these particular days and hours. Okay, days and hours and ascents. Okay, which has to do with that, that during each ascent, there's going to be 100 years. And we can see these things unfolded throughout history. Okay, that the Abrahamic calendar was unfolded throughout history. Now, if you're not aware of what the calendar is, then you didn't know what the event's happening. Just like they have a season of events marked on your regular calendar, which has to do with identifying certain holidays. Okay, now, if it wasn't marked on the calendar, you forget. Hey, well, when is this particular holiday going to come up? Well, let's see. Look at the calendar. And there it's marked in the calendar. Okay, so that calendar is like a vacation time. Okay, well, God also has a calendar of events. And he gave these calendars of events to us, okay, through his prophets. The Abrahamic covenant, particularly, or Daniel's calendar. He also had particular marks of time. Okay, even those which were given during the days of Jeremiah. Okay, he also had a calendar of mark of events called 70 years. Okay, and those which were mindful of that knew of the time when Israel, which was in Babylon, Judah, which was in Babylon at that time, would be released. And it happened exactly. upon the opening of that day, which is marking God's calendar, Israel received the revelation. And they were released from the captivity and given gifts to leave. Okay, even as that was in Egypt, they gave gifts to leave. Gifts were given to them to leave. So I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Again, the last of this plan. Okay, the Spirit is saying here that no man takes my place as a substitute. Okay, no man can take my place as a substitute because I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end and the first and last. Okay, there's no one that's equal to the calendar which God is. Now, God has set that calendar within himself and fulfill it in his time. That's why no man knows the day nor the time which the Father has put in his own power, which means this is inscribed in the Father's heart and he will make it known at the time, that on the Father's calendar. Okay, that which is on the Father's calendar, he'll make it known at the time of his choosing. Okay, from verse 13, let's go to verse 14. Blessed are they. I like the word blessed there. Okay, because this is a sign of Abraham. The sign of Abraham is on all those, okay, that believe this testimony. So blessed are they. This is the sign of Abraham that do his commandments. Okay, blessed are those, are they that keep his commandments. Now, a commandment has to do with an ordered activity, and the ordered activity is set, okay, within the parameters of the covenant. So blessed are they that do his commandments. They shall increase, and we'll be reading about that, being strengthened with all might. They shall increase and abound, then embrace this holy knowledge. And this is what the Spirit is saying to John. Okay, and your testimony, the testimony of the son of Abraham. Okay, we bear the testimony of Abraham, the sign of Abraham, because Abraham was that sign of faith. Okay, the sign of faith, the circumcision, the separation from his house. Okay, if you think about that, the sign of Abraham goes all the way back to the time of his severing. The severing took place at the time of revelation. And in his obedience from that which is grace for salvation to that which is grace of his circumcision. He had the grace of circumcision, and God gave gifts. God gave gifts, and he increased his house. That's what God is doing with us. He's giving gifts to us to increase the house, because we have separated ourselves from our fleshly heritage to embrace that which is our spiritual heritage. Okay, when you separate yourself from your earthly heritage, which has to do with the bonds of iniquity have to do with that you're extrapolating the reality of life, okay, through the error of your forefathers. Okay, rather not than embracing that which is tethered to the kingdom of God. Okay, that which is kingdom of God is what we're providing, okay, for you, okay, for the purpose of understanding this perception. That's the divine perception, the divine tethering. So blessed are they that do his commandments. Now, if you do his commandments, okay, which has to do with that which is righteous and holy, that they may have right to the tree of life. Those that bear this confirmation and see this confirmation, okay, and the Spirit will bear fruit unto everlasting life. Okay, will bear fruit to everlasting life. We have received that in grafting of Christ within us. Okay, that which is inscribed within the heart and the mind. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in. So you might want to highlight the word enter in there through the gates of the city. Now the gates of the city has to do with the door of the conscience, the door of the conscience of the Father. Okay, which the breath of the Lord continually sends forth this knowledge. In perfect harmony, okay, like in perfect, it's like a wind instrument. You blow in the wind instrument, okay, and a sound is made, okay, and the breath of the Lord being spoken within the holy city is going to make a sound of harmony through its gates, like a wind instrument, okay, and it's going to send forth knowledge, the knowledge of his light, like liquid light, okay, we drink of him. Okay, enter into the gates of the city, for without, you know, notice that he says without. Now, we are within, but without are those which walk by the primate instincts. The primate instincts, or that which is of the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom, okay, doesn't walk by the conscience. We walk by the knowledge of the conscience. The animal kingdom walks by the knowledge of their instinct. The same thing with sinners. Sinners walk by the knowledge of the instinct, okay, being the natural man. Okay, the natural man is that which is of the instinct, the primate. Okay, so the foul conscience carries the instinct of the primate. For thou art dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So here again we can see there's a distinction made, that which is clean and unclean. That which is clean enters the holy city, which is righteous and holy. But that which is, he that is unjust and he that is filthy is as the animals. Okay, the animal kingdom. Okay, their perception is with their own instinct and passion. Okay, that which they try to obtain through their intellect. Okay, through the intellect. We live by grace. Okay, we live by the gifts which God has provided for us. Okay, but the world lives by that which Satan provides for them, which works with their instinct. Okay, so without, outside these gates now, we talked about the holy city, New Jerusalem there, in previous reading. Okay, how the how the holy city was constructed to preach to us the gospel of Jesus Christ. From its foundations, the 12 apostles, to the gates of the law. Okay, the gates of the law, which has to do with that which is the spirit and that which is the flesh, which represents what? Jesus Christ. Jesus being the name given to him for his flesh, and Christ being the name given to him because he is God manifest in the flesh. So the holy city is a reflection of the gospel which we preach. Okay, that's why he talks about the tree of life. Because the tree of life represents your healing. The tree of life represents your healing. Okay, that which was denied Adam upon transgression is now renewed to us by faith in Jesus Christ. And he goes on, I, Jesus, sent my angel. See that verse 16 there. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. That's exactly what the Apostle John did. Okay, to testify means the challenge for reward. The challenge for reward and to return the functioning of the stewardship. These are your tokens of propitiation. These things in the churches and to preach to the saints. That's why he says, I'm the root. We talked about the root there as the Alpha and the offspring, which has to do with the fruit, the Omega. The Alpha and Omega, because he's the mediator and the true word of God and the plan of God, which was inscribed in the Father's heart. The word of God, the volume of the book was inscribed in the Father's heart, was made known through the word, Jesus Christ. So I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So we see that which is earthly and that which is heavenly. He's a true light, a new day of beginning, and the bright and morning star, the new beginning. Okay, the beginning is that which is of that which is of fire. Okay, Jesus rose from the dead to show us this journey. Okay, that the flesh is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, that these two powers will exist together, but be in direct contradiction to each other. Okay, but we which feast on the things of the spirit will overcome that which is the flesh, called the old man. Okay, so that which is the flesh of the old man grows weak and dies. It loses its powers. Okay, it loses its powers. As you age, you also lose certain powers. There is a woman that just recently passed away who was the oldest woman in the world, and she was 116 years old, and she just recently passed away. And so her body went through a cycle of loss, like hearing loss, eye loss, loss of the senses. Okay, these things slowly disappear because it's preparing the body for separation, like the chicken cracking the egg. Okay, it's preparing for the release of the life which is within it. All right? So the old man continues to die or lose its powers as we continually gain the powers of the resurrection. We live by the power of the resurrection. So in the spirit, the bride say, come. This is our true union and our true destiny, being the spirit which is the father of the crystal sea, which we all dwell within. The spirit and the bride say, come. Now, the purpose of this union is the bonding, as Isaac saw Rebecca. He took Rebecca into his mother's tent, which shows this was, he was going to spawn a new beginning, all right, but it was going to take on a new tradition. It was his mother's tent. It's still going to reflect upon the tradition of his father, but it's going to carry on a new tradition of covenant faith. Okay, and that's where he took Rebecca. So the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears. Okay, those being joined within the tent now, those which hear were confirmed. Those which hear were confirmed. The believers which hear were confirmed these tidings. Let him come. That means come where? That's come out. Okay, Revelation 18:4 talks about that. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate. Now, Paul said that to the first century church, and the Apostle John also brought that to our attention 2,000 years in the future. He said that for 2,000 years in the future. Apostle John, he had a virtual reality revelation of things to come, 2,000 years in the future and beyond. He saw the condition of the church, first three chapters. He saw the condition of the great tribulation, which come upon that, which is following the second eighth week. We see that within from chapter 6 to chapter 7, the transition will take place from the second eighth week to the seventh week, from the seventh week to the ninth week, from the ninth week to the tenth week, okay, and beyond, okay, into the Father's bosom. So he says, come, that the Spirit says to come, which means the grace of God is provided for us in order to bring us this knowledge of separation, that we don't remain within a house of the wicked, Okay, or in the house of Bel, we come out of the house of Bel into the house of God. So let him that hears say, come. In confirmation, these tidings. So let him that is athirst come. That is, those which are thirst for this knowledge would drink of the well of God. Drink of my well. That's exactly what Jesus said. He said that when he was on earth. And he said this to the Apostle John after he ascended to heaven. And he's saying the same thing to us today. Okay, the drink of his well. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And that's what we're doing. The water of life freely. Okay, it's the water of this life which will provide us access into the Father's bosom, the place of our origin. So what he says in verse 18, I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy. Okay, I testify as in my bosom. Okay, this is what the Lord is saying. I, Jesus, sent my angel, and I, Jesus, now I'm testifying. I'm testifying unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy, this book. As I spoke to all the souls in my Father's bosom, so I'm that same gospel is being preached today. He says, for I testify to every man, or the protester or consenter, that hears the words of this prophecy, which is the charity of this letter, the prophecy of this book, so I had the word book there. The book, again, is the volume that's written of himself. If any man shall add to these words, they add the aspiration it to make a lie, and add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues, the curses that reduce the powers in the soul. Okay, the curses that reduce the powers of soul. We can see this evidently being played out today, okay, in the minds of those which are protesters. The minds of the protesters are darkened because God has removed the powers of reason from them until they turn to the Lord. Okay, now, when they will turn to God, they turn to God when he smites them. Just like, it's like training an animal. Okay, we train... Every beast is maintained by mankind. Okay, as this is what James brings to our attention. Okay, every kind of beast is maintained by mankind. Mankind, except the only thing that's the most difficult to tame is a tongue, which has to do that which we confess. Okay, that which we confess. We confess Jesus Christ. Okay, but we have been trained now to do that. Okay, this knowledge of God is as the whip of the Lord, and it's teaching us to respond to him. Okay, but the protester refuses to reciprocate and respond. So if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues. And of course, that's the curse that reduces the powers of reason, okay, that are written in this book. Because death brings a breach in the conscience. When death brings a breach in the conscience, the life of the conscience and the life of the soul leaks out. Okay, when it leaks out, it's like the air leaking out of a balloon. When the air leaks out of a balloon, okay, the balloon goes back to its original state of being all shriveled up. You know, all shriveled up. Same thing when you see a baby. When a baby is born, it's kind of interesting. An infant or a baby is born, okay, it looks shriveled up a little bit until it starts to get fed. Then it kind of like fills out. Okay, it fills out. It goes through cycles of maturity. It goes through cycles of maturity only to bear again its own kind in order to keep alive the species. Okay, so the cycles of life. That's spiritually speaking, you can see how God put a parable in that to show us also our spiritual sowing and reaping to bear into him. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of the prophecy, which means to be as to take away his grace, the book of this prophecy, which is his charity, and when you reduce the powers of the spirit, you also abominate the source, which is God. If you remove the inspiration, you abominate the source. Now, false religious system removes the grace, and so they abominate the source. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. So instead of honoring God and glorifying him, again, they use the grace of God to honor their intellect and their own system, that which they designed for themselves, their own boasting. And God should take away his part, the activity in this blessing, out of the book of life. All right, if your name's taken out of the book of life, you have no access to the holy city because you have no powers. Okay, that God grants you powers in the holy city. Okay, your access, which has to do with a white stone. Okay, I'll give him a white stone and a stone, a new name written. Okay, I'm going to give you a white stone, and also you'll be able to partake of the holy manna. Okay, now he brings that out in Revelation chapter 2 concerning the white stone and the manna, okay, under the church of Pergamos. Okay, so here we have the white stones who are able to enter the holy city. Those that receive the gift enter the gates. Okay, because the pure conscience enter into the pureness of God. As Christ also is in the seat of the Father's conscience, we also will enter into thrones being in the seat of the Father's conscience. Okay, and he goes on here, and from the things which are written in this book that be fulfilled. Now look at verse 20. He which testifies these things, which means I establish my power in you as the anointing speaks this life. I'm establishing my power in you as the anointing speaks life. We see this in your charity. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly, because this is your seal. Charity is your seal. By charity, you're sealing your repentance. Nothing to be repented of. And this is what Paul brings out in Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. In other words, seeing that your repentance has been sealed by the tokens of the Spirit, we no longer resource that which is of the old covenant. And we no longer resource the law. The law used to frame our thinking concerning good and evil. Okay, but if those that might frame our thinking concerning good and evil, it never brought regeneration, which now our adoption by through the adoption of Jesus Christ, regeneration takes place. We'll see this. He says, verse 20, he which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly, again to establish gifts for the seal. Okay, amen. Surely I come quickly, amen. That's for the seal. Even so come, Lord Jesus. That means bless us with more gifts, okay, in these waters. Bless us with more gifts in these waters. And how do we know he means gifts of these waters? Because he says here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Okay, this is your seal. Because we all equally benefit in these powers of Christ. Okay, but only those of faith will, of course, will come to him. Okay, only those of faith will come to him. Now, having said some of these things, now we can go to the book of Colossians. Okay, and we're going to pick up some things here. Okay, this is in Colossians chapter 1. Now, I started Colossians chapter 1 Friday. And I touched on a few things here Friday, and we got up around verse 11. Okay, but to reiterate, okay, the Apostle Paul identifies his position as a steward. That's why he calls himself Apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay, he's showing the true tethering of the covenant. The tethering of our covenant is a record which Jesus provided for us in himself. And having risen from the dead, now Moses didn't rise from the dead. The Moses' body is still on this earth, though his soul is in heaven, but his body is still on earth. But Jesus physically rose from the dead to provide us a living testimony. Okay, a living testimony, a living witness, a living record. Hey, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And he says, will of God, we're talking about the power of these tokens, the power tokens which by these things he's governing our destiny. So highlight the word G-O-D, God, he's governing our destiny, G, governing, O, our. Indeed, destiny. He's governing your destiny by the fire charity. But his fire charity, which is tethered to the kingdom of God, is tethered to his throne. Now, the stewardship is making these things known. Without the stewardship, the church walked blindly. See, the church walked blindly. They didn't even know how to rightly divide the word of God. They received the enlightenment for the purpose of their repentance, but the repentance fell into derision by resourcing the law for tithing, by resourcing the law for the Sabbath day observation, okay, by physical circumcision and by physical communion and by physical water baptism. Okay, which baptism, of course, won't save the soul. Okay, so we can see it's Jesus' baptism that saves the soul, and his tokens, which represent our rest, Jesus Christ, the Sabbath man. These are the powers which Jesus spoke about. Okay, in Matthew 28, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. The purpose of these powers, he says, is to officiate this covenant now, which I'm going to oversee by my government, which I'm calling you apostles to do. You notice Jesus breathed in his apostles. If it was just the Bible that would be sufficient enough in order to give direction for what we want to believe, then Jesus never would appoint apostles. He would appoint his scribes. He would have said, okay, now I want you to write these things down. So for 3 years, Jesus sat down at a table with 12 scribes, and each scribe wrote word for word verbatim what Jesus said. Okay, then this is what the false religious system thinks. Okay, and so they wrote these things down in the languages of the people, okay, including the King James Version. So they wrote it down in English and Spanish and German, and they wrote it down in the 12 languages of the world, right? No, they didn't. They didn't do that. Okay, he didn't leave behind a volume and then pass this volume, the volume of a book of paper from one generation to another generation. Okay, but the callings do. Okay, the callings are that which is the election of the Spirit. Okay, so the saints. Okay, we're going to move on a little quickly here because I want to bring up and start with verse 11. I'm going to bring you up to that verse right there. So Paul talked about the tethering and the oversight of these things, which he began in the Father's bosom for the purpose of your consistency, which is a faithful brethren in Christ. The faithful brethren in Christ. Those under his stewardship were called the faithful. They were called the saints. Okay, it was those which were under the watchful eyes of a true stewardship. Okay, but those under the watchful eyes of the hireling, okay, could not attain to the understanding and the unlocking of these mysteries. They did not attain to that. They still don't have it. They still don't have it. They're still mixing the covenants, and they're still wandering in regarding what prophecy is tongues valid, whether healing is for today, whether miracles, or God still doing miracles, whether angels are good or bad, or whether it's male angels or female angels. They still debate those things. Okay, they're children in their thinking. They never progress beyond that, which is their illumination, and you can see the derision is already manifesting itself. You can't be saved by derision. By that derision, you're saved by grace. And they talk about being saved by grace, but the direction that they're going in, the tokens that they're using, it does not seal their conscience and purity. It seals their conscience with a hot iron. Okay, it seals their conscience with a hot iron, which has to do with the derision. It closes their mind to God. The word seal, okay, is rather self-evident there, which has to do with to close without access. Okay, and so the sealing of their soul by that derision, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, as to what their form of philosophy and theology of life does not allow access of the grace of God, unless they turn to Him. Okay, their conscience will be seared to the day of their death, and upon that time, their exiting of this dimension, being fruitless, okay, will be cast into the fire. Okay, a fruitless soul is cast into fire. Is this a gate access? It's a fruitful soul that's innocent before God. A fruitless soul is ignorant of God. Okay, we'll go on here. The saints and faithful brethren, so they're showing this consistency with a new covenant. Okay, even those which are at Colossae. Okay, and then he goes on, is concerning the tokens, the elements of the covenant. He goes grace and peace. Well, as we read on, we see grace and peace and faith and love. And we go on and we also see truth here. You can see the elements, how the Apostle Paul understood these definitions. The true stewardship laid out the true definition. The false stewardship took the definition which the apostles gave and turned it into themselves. A definition of substitutionism is a false definition. The definition of propitiation, okay, is a true definition. So we got two different types of definitions. One of unmerited favor with the own has to do with God's act of working. Okay, now the Apostle Paul talked about grace as God's act of working, which is God's propitiation. We love him because he first loved us. And substitutionism accepts the history of God's love towards us, but then the initiated form of communication which God didn't sanctify. That's substitutionism. They acknowledge that God created the world. They acknowledge, yes, God saved my soul. But at the same time of that acknowledgement, they're laying a groundwork of their own tokens of behavior. And that independence puts them in a state of being as a wild animal, or the Bible calls them a brute beast. Okay, we go on here. So he talks about grace and peace, because the grace of God by this enlightenment, the peace of God assists you in the transition from light to darkness. And we'll see this over here in verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. See the word power there in verse 13. Okay, the power has to do with the spirits that attend upon your ignorance. The power of darkness, the spirits that attend upon your ignorance, called seducing spirits. Okay, a seducing spirit has the appearance of goodwill. Okay, but when you drink it, it's bitter water. When you drink it, it's bitter. It's wormwood. Okay? So here he says here, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us. The word translation there has to do with the power of peace that's present in order to help us through this transition into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay, let's go back here to verse 3 here. Okay, he talks about grace and peace, and he says its origin comes from the Father's bosom, which has to do with the crystal sea. We call it the crystal sea. It's because it's knowledge that's not of this dimension. Okay, it's living liquid knowledge. That's why when Jesus said, drink of me, it's like talking about a liquid knowledge. Okay, the knowledge that you drink of me is this well, which we read about there in Revelation. Okay, the Spirit and the bride say, come and drink. He said, drink of me. Okay, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, Jesus said. Okay, it has to do with the expression of this knowledge through your charity will produce life in your soul. And so the cycle of reciprocation, which Paul talks about redounding to the glory of God, fruit is born within you, and you walk uprightly. Okay, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that the tethering, we see the terms of the covenant, we see also how he officiates over us as master. Okay, the master and our prototype of this journey. We give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So we can see the necessity, okay, of the stewardship in order to assist your growth. In the absence of the stewardship, you begin to wander looking for wells. You know, those in a false religious system openly profess looking for wells. They're still out there digging for wells. And we're pointing to them and says, well, there's a well right over here, okay, which has to do with the molten sea, the bath of the molten sea. Now, the molten sea is a concept which God designed for the purpose of showing the crystal sea. The molten sea, okay, was designed and put within a temple, which shows that that which is of the molten sea was necessary for the first covenant priesthood, as the crystal sea is necessary for the priesthood of the second covenant. Okay, we're drinking that which is living, not that which is dead. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So we can see the intercession right here, okay, of the stewardship assists your deliverance. Even as Abraham prayed for Abimelech. Okay, Abraham prayed for Abimelech. Also as Job prayed for his three friends. And as Jesus also prayed for Peter. Okay, Satan has desire to have you to sift you as wheat, Peter, but I prayed for you. So again, Jesus is showing and teaching the apostles concerning the necessity of the stewardship, concerning those bonding prayers. Okay, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, like the word Christ Jesus, we'll talk about that which is of your priesthood. Your faith and expression of this charity in your priesthood at the altar. This is the altar of your sanctification. So highlight the word Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, we can see that altars were constructed and God communicated. Now, Abraham constructed an altar and God spoke to him. Okay, Solomon constructed an altar and God spoke to him. David constructed an altar and God spoke to him. The altar has been constructed through Jesus Christ within your heart. Without the stewardship, you wouldn't even have the realization of how this altar is constructed. How is the pattern and the design to be constructed within you? But that was given through the stewardship, as it was given to Moses. The pattern of the tabernacle and all the furniture of the tabernacle was revealed by the Spirit, that's Revelation, from God to Moses. And he wrote these things down and drew diagrams for Basilei and Aholiab. Gave to oversee and to officiate this construction, which God sanctified. God gave gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to those which build, and that's what God's doing to you. Okay, I saw the pattern. I communicated that pattern to you, and you took this knowledge and resourced by this knowledge. The altar of God was constructed in your heart. So God was formed within you, or Christ is formed within you. Okay, in this altar, Christ Jesus. So hide the word Christ Jesus, you can put the word altar over that. So he says here, since we heard of your faith, we apostles heard of your confirmation. Okay, we heard of your confirmation, and that through this confirmation, you were consistent. Okay, you were consistent, and through this consistency, you conformed. Okay, Christ Jesus, end of the love. See, so the word faith and love. So the word faith and love there. Okay, this is the beginning, and your charity, okay, is the conclusion of that, okay, which is a distributing factor for all these other virtues to be born within you. Jesus is the master of virtues. He's the master of virtue. He is the one that decides and distributes these powers for the purpose of your growth and the rewards of your faith as you attend upon the altar. You can attend upon the altar in your closet. Okay, attending upon the altar in a closet as you're praying in the spirit. You're reflecting upon the knowledge. You're offering your spiritual sacrifices. You're reflecting upon the revelations God gave to you in dreams and visions. Okay, now that your soul will increase and your soul will abound. But if these particular things are absent, okay, concerning your priesthood, then your altar is going to split open and spill as ashes. All right, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, love which you have to all the saints. Okay, so we see the law and the prophets spoken here. Okay, on these things hang all the law and the prophets. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Okay, which you have to all the saints. This has to do with the exchange. When you exchange one with another, you're bonding and building, and God takes delight in the unity of the saints, okay, the bonding and the building one with another. Okay, this is how the house of God is built. As a tabernacle in the wilderness was constructed by the upright boards, and also they were bonded together through the horizontal board which went through them. which represented the cross. You see the upright piece of wood and the horizontal piece of wood, which represents the cross. That when we die to ourself, we fill the temple with his glory. In which he had to all the saints. So when it says to love thy neighbor as thyself. So we love God with our heart, which has to do with that faith. With our mind, which has to do with the study of doctrine. And with all our soul, which has to do with the application. The application with all of our soul. Okay, with all these tokens. Okay, with all your heart, with all your soul, and your mind, with all your strength, which is the proper sacrifices. Okay, with the proper sacrifices. Your strength is proper sacrifices. And we'll see this here in verse 11, being strengthened with all might. Okay, that's the proper sacrifices. So you're keeping the law and the prophets. Okay, on these things, that's what Jesus said, on these things, hanging the law and the prophets. Okay, that which God has provided for your faith to be expressed, okay, is the very scale which all things are measured to. Okay, which, of course, the stewardship brings to your attention. This is what he's bringing here, since today we heard of it. Okay, for the hope which is laid up for you in the heaven. Okay, this is the intended divine goal. Okay, these tokens are provided for you now for the expectation of that which is going to be rewarded to you later on. So you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's what Jesus talked about. Okay, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth which will rust through neglect, which could be stolen by thieves. We talked about that. Or could be eaten by moths. The things that were constructed thousands of years ago are no longer here. Okay, archaeologists have to dig in the sand, okay, or in the earth, or even to find certain tokens that, like they just recently found there in England. Okay, they're constructing, or they're laying a cable in England, and they came across a cemetery, okay, and also a villa, which the Romans around that time, around 500 A.D., around, say, within that period of time, when they built. But it was nothing there any longer, except for what? A few tokens they found, like coins. They found some coins, and they found some other smart artifacts. Okay, but regarding the glory of its existence had long passed by. And all things of this world and the glory of its existence will long pass by. Where you live right now, okay, within 100 years, will be torn down, and something will be constructed in its place, probably another mall. The same thing, if you go to New York City and the Wall Street, now they call it Wall Street because they constructed a wood wall or a fortress around that area for their protection. So they call it Wall Street. But Wall Street is not the same it was 100 years ago. Okay, or let's go a little further back. Let's say 200 years ago. Okay, it's not the same. Now, during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the earth which we know today, you will not recognize it when you come back. When you come back, there's nothing is going to be recognizable, okay, whether it be a city or a country villa. Okay, everything's going to be razed to the ground. Even mountain ranges and islands, you're not going to be able to find them. We see that as the continents come together again, the topography of the land, that's going to change, okay, as well as also the geography of where things existed, that's going to change. Okay, you won't even be able to find England. Or other great cities that exist in today. Okay, you won't be able to find them. Everything's going to change. At the end of 1,000 years, a lot of these places will be under probably under 100 feet of earth. This is what happened in Israel. When the children of Israel were taken captive for 70 years, the whole city of Jerusalem was burnt down. In fact, after it was burnt down, okay, the places where palaces that previously existed was covered with dirt, and sheep were feeding in the fields there. They were feeding in these areas where were palaces. Palaces of great, wealthy, and noble people. Okay, became the feeding grounds for sheep and goats and cattle. When Ezra returned, and some of those returned back, when they left there 70 years ago, of course, elderly at this time, they came back. And he says, how many of you were here before this all happened? And very few hands went up. Okay, they were weeping, okay, when they saw what happened. It was a grazing ground. Where's the glory that was previous here? Where's our great kings that once ruled here? Okay, where's the city of David? Okay, Mount Zion and the sides of the north that we sang praises about. It's all gone. That's the way the world is. The world goes through changes, but we worship the changeless one, the Lord God. And that's why God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, because he's establishing an eternal testimony. The testimony of man is passive, temporary, and dissolves with time. But the testimony of God endures forever. This which come unto you, and let's look at verse 60, which come unto you as in all the world brings forth fruit. So I hide the word fruit there. Okay, so you see how prayer is necessary for the purposes of bonding and fruit bearing, as it does also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. See that verse 6 there. Highlight the word grace and truth again. The grace of God and truth, which means your conscience was awakened and realized, you discerned and you accepted his revelation. Okay, that you saw now these facts which are consistent to divine character, which follows the purpose of his plan being his word of life. The purpose of plan, which is the word of life. Okay, the grace of God took form. That's why you need truth. If you're thirsty, you can say you put water in a cup. Okay, but if you put water in your hand, most of it's going to just spill out. It doesn't take form. Okay, when you put water in a cup, the water takes the form of the cup, just like the soul also takes up the form of the body. Okay, as the soul takes up the form of the body, okay, also the water takes the form of the cup. Okay, so truth provides form for your knowledge, so that your knowledge doesn't spill over, but it takes form. In other words, when it takes form, there's points of identification. There's points of identification there for it. Okay, so that's the grace of God and truth. You see, it bears the likeness of God, and it's proceeding to for its completion within you. It's proceeding for its completion in you. In other words, if the grace of God is given but doesn't take form, then it takes on the form of lasciviousness. It takes on the form and the activity of the aspiration. Okay, it was pure as a gift that was given in its purest form, but the purest form that was given and never reciprocated, redound to the glory of God, it was put within the soil, but it never took root. Okay, it never matured. It just dissolved in the soil. As you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was for you a faithful minister of Christ. So the Apostle Paul was able to identify those which were consistent. Okay, same thing today. We can identify those which are consistent, those which are moving forward and maturing in their understanding, and those which are very slow. Okay, you're always going to have that wide spectrum. Okay, that wide spectrum there. Okay, those which are consistent and those which are not as consistent. But in the very end, when the Lord gives us rewards, even that which is of the least will be even greater than that which is of the kings of the earth. So even in the end, even those which are somewhat weak or still infants, okay, will receive a great reward. Okay, that shows the great mercy of God. I'm not saying these things that you can just skate through. It says, well, the chief elder said, I don't really have to do anything. No, I didn't say that. Okay, so don't go quoting those things before the Lord and says, hey, Lord, your chief elder down here says I could just skate through on these things. And it says, hey, I don't remember saying that. There's no skating through. If that's what your motive is, you're going to lose out. Let's go on here. So as you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, he says here. So the Apostle Paul is able to identify those, okay, which are consistent, who is you, a faithful minister of Christ. Okay, the faithfulness is, of course, he says here, is the marker for your consistency. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Okay, we can see the same thing today in when you go on to your cell phone there and you offer your sacrifices. Okay, we can see there's certain consistency right there. Now, if they had cell phones back then, Epaphras would do the same thing, that these people offering sacrifices. He declared to us your love in the Spirit. Okay, and for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, the apostles said, we do not cease to pray for you. That's the burden which God has set upon this stewardship, has continued to be steadfast in prayer, so that through these prayers, okay, you continue to be steadfast and grow, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And this is what God is doing now. He's filling you with knowledge. This is liquid knowledge which you're drinking. So that's why I used the word filled right there. That your soul will be enlarged. Your soul will be enlarged to contain more. That you be filled with all knowledge of God. Well, the knowledge of God, it's immeasurable. Yeah, it's immeasurable. Now, the Lord put that symbolism of immeasurability within the construction of the temple. The construction of the temple of Solomon. That sounds might sound rather strange. Okay, but the tokens which he received of so much brass, with so much that they left off calculating it. They left off calculating it there. Okay, they had the gold, the silver, and all these things were being given as gifts for the construction of Solomon's temple. Okay, and so the scribes were tallying up the weight of these things. Okay, and it got to the point where they couldn't tally it any longer. The same thing under Joseph's oversight in Egypt. They had so much storage that they left off tallying of it. Okay, that's the overflow of the stewardship. The knowledge of God will continue to overflow. You cannot exhaust the sources. You can't exhaust the sources because God is the source, see? In your soul, which is also in God's likeness, will continually expand to take more in. So the more you sow, the more you grow. Okay, there is no restriction to your growth. You can grow as fast as you want to grow. It all depends upon how you apply yourself. The knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So you've got wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, which has to do with all these powers of grace. Okay, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. So these things are necessary for us to be competent within his kingdom. Okay, that we might be competent in him in his prophetic path. This is for his joy to be seen within us. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, for his joy to be in you, unto all pleasing. Hide the word pleasing there in verse 10. We're meeting his expectation perfectly only by these gifts. You can't meet his expectation perfectly just out of the sincere passion of wanting to do it. It's not the sincere passion that will achieve it, but rather the application of your faith. Now, I'm not saying that your faith is absent of passion, no, because that's part of the powers which God put within us for purposes of this expression. Okay, passion. Feeling. When I say passion, I say feeling. We're not unfeeling. We do have feeling. Okay, Jesus had feeling. Okay, and it was expressed when Jesus wept. He had feeling. Compassion. Okay, so he wasn't dispassionate. Okay, he wasn't dispassionate. So we can see here of all pleasing. Now, when the wrath of God is an expression of his passion. It's an expression of his passion. But the passion that he's expression has to do with the violation of his great long-suffering. His great long-suffering, that he was slow to wrath, but when it's released in his fury. Okay, we'll see that in the tribulation. Okay, that the transgression of the people of this world, okay, upon hearing the tidings of the second eighth week, will continue to choose that which is of their own derision, okay, which will bring upon them the great wrath of God. That you might walk worthy, Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful. So how do you the word fruitful there? Because here he says fruitful. We're not stagnating or dying on the vine, but rather we're being succulent. Okay, succulent. We're receiving the grace which we're drinking of is keeping us succulent. Okay, it's keeping us liquid. Okay, fruitful in every good work, which has to do with attending upon these labors of the altar. And now look what happens here. If you're attending upon labors of the altar, you're increasing. See, as the Spirit and the Bride say, come, let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. Okay, so the water of life freely has to do with the knowledge which we're dining on. Okay, will continue to increase and abound and overflow in the knowledge of God. Okay, this was prophesied in the book of Levi. It talks about the knowledge of God shall overflow this world even as the water of the seas. The water of the oceans cover the majority of the earth, but the knowledge of God will cover this world even as the water does the sea. Like in Noah's time, as the water of the sea. It completely covered the world. The knowledge of God will cover this world, okay, during the millennial reign of Christ, as well as also in the new heavens, new earth. We are the knowledge carriers. Now, if you could be faithful in these little things and regarding just your life, how much more the true riches overseeing as a steward in your castle, in your region, the region of your kingdom, which God will provide for you to rule over during the millennial reign of Christ. Because everything that the Lord will officiate as a law from Jerusalem, we will oversee and also initiate in the kingdom that we're ruling over. Just like Jesus promised the 12 apostles. You will be as kings or rulers over your tribes. And that's going to happen during the millennium. It sure didn't happen during the first eighth week. It didn't happen during the first eighth week. If Peter says, well, God says, he's going to give me a tribe to rule over. And Peter put all his emotional effort behind that revelation, being out of season. Okay, it's like putting on a coat in the middle of summer on the beach. Okay, wearing a heavy coat, you know, wearing a parka on the beach in the middle of summer. Okay, it could be 80 degrees outside. That's pretty hot. And what are you sitting down here in a blanket with a parka on? So in other words, you're out of season. Now, Peter, if he would have initiated that, says, well, I'm just going to hold this revelation God gave to me, and I'm going to build my tribe. He would have died in his sins because he completely missed the whole revelation of God. Okay, everything is unfolded in the season and the timing which God has specified for that. Well, let's go on here in verse 11 where we get up as you get your sacrifices ready. For strengthened with all might. So I like the word strengthened in might, which means we are being sustained by the gifts he's provided for us, strengthened with all might. God has given abundance of gifts, and his gifts of power, okay, which, of course, bear his likeness, is taking seed, taking root within us, okay, and also we're taking on the form of Christ. We're taking on Jesus in our language. Jesus Christ is what we communicate. When we communicate Christ, the uncircumcised ear, it doesn't hear it. They don't understand it. All they know is different. It's a strange language. is a strange language. Abraham spoke a strange language to those to the inhabitants where he dwelt among, because he spoke of a language of faith, and it was strange to them. And he identified that, where he says, we are as strangers in the earth. We are pilgrims and strangers. We have no certain location down here, and the language which we speak is different than the people which we're among. So they're looking at us as tourists, okay, or rather as being rather different. We don't set with the common people. We're strengthened with all might. His tokens give us a different language, and we're speaking the language of heaven. Strength with all might, according to his glorious power. So I have the word power there. Okay, that's what the we talk about the word strength, and these tokens are powers. And he says, by these tokens he's provided for us, he's assisting us. This is the divine design. And by this power, he's birthing his image within us. Okay, and also this power begets all these other virtues within us. So according to his glorious power, unto all patience. Okay, so I have the word patience there. Patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. So we can see that that which our Father is exhibiting at this present time, okay, in patience, awaiting for the revelation of the sons of God, we also are patient and long-suffering with each other. We're patient because patience has to do with the passage of time, and long-suffering has to do with the passage of time, but includes the contradiction. We are enduring the contradiction with patience. Okay, we're patiently waiting for adoption to be completed. Okay, as the Lord is warming us like a chicken sitting on the egg. The chicken sitting on the egg to warm the egg. Okay, just like the geese over here. Now the geese, you can see the babies now. They're so cute, little baby geese. Okay, they're following their mother around. Okay, she with patience sat upon the eggs until they all hatched, and they all hatched, see? Okay, and God is also, you can say, warming us with the anointing. He's sitting on us. We are maturing inside this egg in a time we will be released into the glorious, to be identified as the glorious sons of God. This is what Paul is bringing out. So we're strengthened with all might. By the tokens, he is assisting us according to the glorious power. Now, the reason why he says his glorious power is because it's not that which is earthy and temporary, but it's something that's heavenly and eternal. The glorious power. It's a glorious power because what God puts within us far exceeds that which even our imagination can attest to. Those things which are beyond description of the human understanding. Okay, of course, the Apostle Paul brings that out in Ephesians. If you want to make a note on that, where he talks about, according to this knowledge, it would be the length, the depth, the height, and the breadth, which takes form, and a form of knowledge that the experience, only experience can help you understand this. Okay, as we continue to speak these things. Let's see. He brings it out here, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So here Paul brings it out in Ephesians 3:19, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Okay, in other words, you cannot intellectually pry into these mysteries and expect to experience something. These are gifts which he's provided for you, which brings you beyond, okay, that which the intellect. The intellect is very restrictive to your logic. Okay, but when God provides you a gift, it unlocks a door of understanding which you didn't have before. Okay, so it says to know the love of Christ. The love of Christ is that gift. By this charity, we can experience him. We experience him, which is out of reach of the logic of the flesh, which passes knowledge. But now it's really available to us in this priesthood, being filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, so let's get ready to conclude here. Okay, let's go back to Colossians here. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto the patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. We can see we're developing as a caterpillar develops into a butterfly. Okay, we are in a cocoon or a vessel of clay. We are in a vessel of clay. That vessel of clay is only a temporary vessel. It's temporary. We are developing inside this. Now, if you're developing with the tokens which are necessary for your maturity, okay, then you'll be released into a glorified form. Okay, from a caterpillar that's eating leaves now to a beautiful butterfly, okay, that has access to the wind. The caterpillar didn't really have that kind of access and expression. So we're giving thanks to the Father, okay, which means we're offering back to himself in reciprocation of those things which he provided for us in these gifts. Reciprocation, redounding to the glory of God. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet. I like the word meet there. Of course, talk about it's our, now faith makes us competent with his gifts. But we have to know what to do with these things. This is where the stewardship comes in, see? The stewardship helps you to understand the mechanics of these gifts. Like the instructions on a box that comes with a present. Okay, you go to the store and you buy something that needs to be constructed. Okay, and it tells you step one, step two, step three, step four. Okay, so you take out the instructions that tells you how to put together, okay, this particular machine so that it will be favorable for your use. Okay, that's why you purchase it. You purchased it for the purpose of your usage. Well, everything that God provided for us is for his usage. And it comes with instructions. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So everything that's provided for us is leading us to that which is the eternal reward and inheritance of the Father's bosom.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.